Excited about the day. Man, what an incredible sight to see all of our kiddos up here, and what a blessing that is. Hey, we had several bookmarks left. James, take those with you and pass them out. I know you can't do that and count at the same time, but try your best. You're going to college. You'll have to do multiple things like that. Look at him. He's still not giving me any attention. That's okay. But excited to see you this morning. Again, if you are, as I so appreciated Jacob saying, if you are one of our guests, we are so thankful you've come our way. As you see the families and the students that gather around this stage, we are all in this together as we strive to raise our kids to love the Lord and to seek His face in all that we do, and what a blessing it is. And one of the things that I wanted to do with our message today was really to try to encourage all of us, but really especially our students, and to give them something hopefully in this little bookmark that they'll be able to take and to remind themselves of a few things through the months and years to come. So I begin, we're promoting in the back, and kids are moving up in classes, and that's such an exciting thing, and always excited to have. I look down here, and we got new folks on the front row, and that's pretty awesome. Promoted to the front row, that's great. Give me thumbs up. All right. And I just want you to think about some things as we think about this back to school idea. Are you ready? I mean, nobody's really ready, right? But it's here, so we want to be as prepared as we can. I loved all of our pictures as we got back to school this week. Some really good shots and really fun smiles and faces that kind of appeared out in our school cruise. Really looked forward to seeing different places and faces, and then even one from the beach. Oh man, got a little puppy action on the beach, and just a fantastic time of year. A little throwback. Where you at, Braden? Oh, there he is, high school Braden in the middle. You know, one of the things that advertisers do is they try to capture different images. Images are logos that will bring an instant picture to your mind. Instantly, by seeing something, you visualize a product, you immediately start saying a word or a name just from the picture. This one, obviously, nobody's struggling with that one, right? I mean, we all know that. What about this one? Maybe this loses a few adults in the room. What about this one? Maybe this loses a few kids. You got this one? Not Visa. Good. MasterCard, yeah. What about this one? Yeah, good job, Z. All right, here's a easy. You see something and you're immediately, you're right there. You're going to the place, you're watching the events. You'll be glad to know I found out while I was in Brazil that there was a big movement. They were having an international competition of break dancing. That's the new item that they're trying to push up into the Olympic realms. They had to have a couple of big international. Anyway, I'll tell you more about that later. But I did not win, you'll be glad to know. Did not even compete. I'm not broken, so you know that. But you see an image and you immediately think of a product. It's not hard to get. But this one might be. For a few folks that are not soccer folks, what about it, you soccer guys? Nobody. You can tell we are in America, are we not? Yes, it's the Real Madrid soccer team. So some things outside of your circle start losing if they're not just right in front of you. If we had the logo for, oh, I don't know, Jerry, Alabama, you know, somebody might, or the big orange T, there would have been no doubt who it was. But some things are a little bit different. What about this one? It is a penguin. What does it represent? Penguin House Publishers. Tyler, that's pretty impressive. Man, I feel like, Stinson, I need to have you stand up. Who knew? Stand up, Stinson. Look at this guy, Penguin House Publishing. Yeah, that's impressive. Give him a hand. I mean, good job. Okay, good deal. He's going, don't applaud for me. I just saw it on one of my brother's books. But this is another penguin. Anybody know this one? Anybody know the name that goes with it? I mean, maybe you've seen it. Some of you know it's like a new logo. Munsingware. Munsingware. And I know you're like going, Chuck, what are you talking about? Munsingware. The old like t-shirts and underwear, and like now it's kind of like clothes and shirts and hat. Why are you talking about Munsing? Why did you put this logo up there? The penguin logo. When I was a boy, I can vividly remember going to a city 45 minutes from where I grew up to a clothing store, because my dad loved Munsingware products. And anytime that I would see that penguin, I was immediately reminded of the fact that my mind went to the store, my mind went to these products, my mind went to, you know, just all things about my dad with this product. Sometimes different images help us to remember. If you think about it throughout Scripture, isn't that what God did for us? I mean, we've done it today already as a family, and in remembering the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus and the forgiveness that He offered us through His body and His blood, as we remembered with the Lord's Supper. You think about it through the times and places of God's people as they were challenged. They picked up stones going through, and they built an altar, and they were using that to remember what God had done for them. Think about the Passover feast that the Jewish people were told to remember how God had led them out. Remember, they had taken images, or they had taken concepts, and they were using those to teach. On the back of the bookmark you guys got, some of you are trying to figure out the code. And I want to lay it out. It's not like a riddle. It's not like a rhyme. It's just simply what I want you to remember as you go back to school. There are a lot of different things that you'll see. And adults, there's some other ones if you would like it. But the first image that I put on their card was a heart. And the reason I put a heart on it is because in a world full of hate, we need more love. In a world where that everybody says you're not good enough, or you don't belong, or you don't matter, what I want every one of our young people here understanding and knowing without a shadow of a doubt is that you are loved. That God so loved you that He would give His Son, John 3:16. It's interesting that John the Apostle, oftentimes called the Apostle of Love, speaks to this not only in that gospel, but in his letter to the church. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Behold what manner of love that the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. In a world that calls you all kinds of names, how awesome is it to think that as people that God has lavished His love on, that He has called you His children? And truthfully, there's nobody any of us love more in our earthly circle than we do our kids. And God called you His children. In a world where all kinds of messages are thrown at you, I want you to see this heart, and I want you to remember, I am loved. Even if I don't feel loved, even if the world is not saying you're loved, you are loved by God. 1 John 3, verse 16 says this, "And this is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." It's how we know what love is. Look at Jesus. You want to know what it means, how God feels about you? look at the cross. Look at the heart of God hanging there for you. And love's a choice. Love's something we have to figure out, because 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says this. It says, we've got a choice of what we're going to love. Do not love the world or anything in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of the life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God will live forever. So I want you to think about the heart, and I want you to remember this. I'm loved. God loves me. You have a family here that loves you. That whatever's going on in the hallways or in up and down, you are loved. What is this about? It's a little math equation. I know. You are greater than your shoes. Right? And that's kind of a big deal. You're greater than your shoes. You smell better than your shoes. You're just greater than your shoes. What is this about? Greater than your shoes. I realize that as you walk and you step into the hallways, as we step into our offices, as we walk across a car lot trying to figure out what it is that we're going to drive next, so many times the world says your value is intrinsically tied to that which you possess. Your value is based upon what you wear, the logos you wear, the styles, the patterns, the images that you put on. There are people in some places that have been killed over their shoes. It's kind of crazy. But what I want to say to you is you're more than your shoes. You're more than your stuff. You are more than the school you attend. You're more than the status symbols that you tie into. You're more than the score on a board. You see, there are going to be days in which your stuff is in flux. It's not going to be what you always thought it was. As the proverb writer says, it's better for us to live with little with a fear of the Lord than with great treasures and the trouble with it. See, we need to remember that. Especially as we continue to grow up, as we decide what are the things that are going to be our priority that we're going to seek after. Jesus would tell his disciples in the end of the Sermon on the Mount that we should seek first his kingdom, and all these other things will be added to you. So when you see the greater than sign, I want you to realize that your value is not based upon your stuff. It's not based upon the status symbols that you wear. It's not based upon the teams that you make or don't make, the games that you win or don't win. You as a person are valuable to God. You're valuable to us. And we want to think about the way that God has created. We are, again, behold what manner of love that God has lavished upon us, that He would call us children of God. Think about you. Are greater than your stuff. So what about the clock? What about the clock? Why is this on your chart? Your sequence of things. You are loved by God. You are more than your stuff. We all have a limited amount of time. We're given a day. We're given today. We've been given opportunities. Some of us realize that a lot more profoundly than others. But the reality is we are all given opportunities. I love the way Paul told the Ephesian church this idea in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. When he says to them, as he's talking to them about the way they used to live, you used to be in darkness, now you're in light. And he says this in verse 15, be careful then how you live. Not as the unwise, but as the wise, making the most of every opportunity. That we've got opportunities for before us every single day. What are you going to do with them? You've been given a period of time. Moms and dads, we're given a period of time with our children. What are we doing with those opportunities? What are we doing with the minutes and the moments that we have? Make the most of the time that we have. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 5, Paul again writes this idea. when he speaks of time. Be wise in the ways that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. We're going to have times with people that are different than us this year. We're going to have times with people that we disagree with this year. Make the most of every opportunity. Be wise in the ways that you speak to those folks. Probably one of the most powerful passages to me is the way that the psalmist wrote it in Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. When the psalmist makes this powerful, powerful statement, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. What a powerful thought. To number our days. What if you knew this was your last week? What would you do? What would you do differently? I know some of you guys are headed off to college. I wouldn't go back to college. You're probably thinking, I wouldn't even go to school right now if I just had a week. What would you do? What are you making the most of your time with? When you see the clock, I want you to think of that. I want you to think of, God's given me this day. What am I going to do with it? What am I going to do to make the most of this opportunity? You see, that passage in 2 Peter is the final thing that says, remember this, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, but a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. But the Lord is going to come back, and we will stand before our Creator and give account for the things that we've done with our time. What are we doing with our time? The next, the sketch of a hand. I want you to think about that hand reaching out to someone as a way of helping someone else. And when you see this bookmark, when you see these images, you think, I am loved by God. I am more valuable than the stuff that everybody places value on. I have a period of time to do something great with my life and honor God. And one of the ways that I do that is through the ways that I serve other people. Jesus was the perfect model of that for us. We see it in John 13 in the ways that He washes the disciples' feet. We see it in His path to the cross in the ways that He was willing to sacrifice Himself for us. We see Jesus serving others throughout His entire existence. And one of the greatest teachings that we all have been kind of pointed to our whole lives is that which we call the golden rule. As you think about how you serve, I want you to think about that passage, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Several years ago, I read an article that laid it out this way. The golden rule. Be what you want others to be. Say what you want others to say. Love like you want to be loved. Live like you want others around you to live. Be faithful because you want others to be faithful to you. Sing like you want our singing to be. Be faithful in worship as you want your children to be. Serve like you want to be served. Smile like you want others to smile around you. Care for others because you need others to care for you. Be there for others because someday you will need others to be there for you. Compliment others around you and you will become a comfort to others. Strengthen others around you and you will become your strength. Be like Christ and those around you will be like Christ too. Rejoice in the Lord and those around you will rejoice as well. You see, when you see the hand, I want you to think, every day there's an opportunity for me to serve somebody. There's an opportunity for me to do good to someone else around me. What will I do with the hands that God has blessed me with? How will I serve others? And finally, the old chemist. Anybody? You with me? Who's got it?
Sodium chloride.
He comes at me from the front row. Commonly known, my friends, as salt. And I want us to end with that thought today. It's Jesus looking at His disciples and telling them, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. When you see that symbol, not only are you going to be ahead in science class because you came to church today, Caden, you're going to be ahead because you know this is what Jesus called me to be. He wants me. What does that mean, Chuck? What's this idea of being salt mean? Well, as you study that, there are all kinds, and we've spent some time in our class in the back on the Sermon on the Mount talking about this. But the thing that I'm drawn to over and over is the fact that salt is something that adds flavor. That not only does it preserve and does it bring about healing, but to me, the thing that you get is when you've had something salty, what immediately are you desiring? Water. Immediately you're drawn, your body is wanting water. And I think when Jesus says we're to be salt in the world, we're to be this flavor that causes someone else to go, man, I'm thirsty for water. Jesus said to the woman at the well, I'm the water. I'm the living water. If you get a hold of this water, you won't be thirsty anymore. And yet, part of our life and our relationship with other people is this. It's that as we live and as we are around other folks, that our lives should draw them to the water. That our lives should make someone go, man, I'm kind of thirsty for what I see in his life. I'm thirsty for what they have in their marriage. I'm thirsty for what he does and what he values and the way he handles things. I'm thirsty for the purpose that his life is and the purpose that his life has. You see, when you see that symbol, I hope you'll think about the purpose and the good and the reason that God has placed you here. You see, when we are asked to remember things, when we're asked to think about the things that God has placed before us, I hope you will never forget that you're loved, that you're valuable, that you are given a period of time and make the most of every opportunity, that your hands are here to serve, and that you're here to draw people to our Lord. Maybe that's something you needed to be reminded of today. Maybe that's something that in the midst of all of the images that are packed into our circles, into our minds, into our eyes, maybe that's what we needed to see, to be reminded. This is how God feels about us. And this is what God's created for us to do and to be. This morning, if there's any way we can encourage you, there's nothing greater in this life than following Jesus, than living for Him, than striving to honor Him with our lives. If you've never made that commitment with your life, if you've never obeyed the simple gospel that Jesus has given to us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. Scripture says that if we're to repent, we're turning away from our past and we're longing to live in Christ's future. And that if we'll be immersed in water, if we will put Christ on and be united with Him in baptism, that we can begin a new life in Him. We're fixing to sing a song. It says, lay your burdens down. I lay me down. Are you willing to lay your life down at the feet of the Savior today? If there's any way we can help you, encourage you, the elders will be around the room. If there's a prayer privately that you need to be prayed, pray with them over. Please don't hesitate. Please don't walk out feeling like you don't have a place to turn. We're here for one another. If there's any way we can help you, we want to do that as we stand together and as we sing.